All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, June 20th of 2024. Looking ahead here, we had golf tee off earlier this morning. We had a 7-game MLB early slate at 1 p.m. Eastern, still going on. And then we have a 2-game MLB night slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Yeah, your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do the show on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But with that said, let's get the app pulled up here. Do have a few questions to get us started that came in the Discord. So we will start with those. If you have any questions, now is always a good time to get those in. We will get to all the questions before the end of the show. But first question here from Shadowhawk. Question says, I always seem to miss office hours because I'm working, but I would like to ask a question for tomorrow's show. When setting up a contest and there's a choice between SaberSim ownership or build one, what do we pick? What seems to make the most sense based on the game we are playing? Okay. So first quick note here, our office hour shows are recorded. We are streaming this on YouTube and X, and then we do post the recordings to all major podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google. So you can always find our office hours on those if you prefer just to listen, or you can watch them in on YouTube as well, and they are all recorded. So just a note for you there. And then one other thing is that if you ask a specific question, we do go back and timestamp them. So you can always go into the description on the YouTube page, and then you could just, if you ask a question and your question was third, and it'll probably have some description that matches what you asked, click on that and it'll take you right to your question, so you can skip around and listen to what you want. So just some notes there on the show here. And then jumping into the question. So what we're talking about here is how to set up your contest sims. So it sounds like what you're doing is, first you're running a build here. I'm just going to run a default build, 500 lineups. And let's kick this off. And then it sounds like you're doing is you're going into your settings here. You're going down to your contest sim settings. You're clicking add contest sim. And then you're going in here and setting up the details, right? So what it sounds like, I don't know what sport you're playing, because SaberSim ownership, it sounds like maybe you're playing Showdown or something like that, because you won't have all of the different options here. But either way, there's SaberSim ownership, and then there's build one. What is the difference, right? Let's start there. So what build one is this would be doing a contest sim against the lineups in your pool. So what happens here is your lineups, your 500 lineups, get put into a contest together, and then that gets played out. And what happens is the ROI metrics that are returned are from each lineup battling each other, okay? That's what happens with build one. What happens with SaberSim ownership, these are our static ownership fields, the ownership. These are how we create the ownership projections. The exposures from these ownership builds become the ownership projections here. If you want to see what those look like, you can always go over to the contest tab, close the contest, open up the field lineups. You can click on any one of these buckets here, and then when this loads over here, you're going to see there are 10,000 lineups in this ownership bucket. And then if I go open up the players section and I go down to exposures, we see 69.7% exposure for Keaton Wynn. Well, when I go back to my build here, Keaton Wynn has ownership of 69.72. So that is the exposure for that player from that ownership build. So just so we're clear on that. Now, if you are trying to set up a contest sim, the easiest and simplest way to do it is to go to the contest tab up here in the top left. And then if you load in your CSV, or you can do it from the all tab as well, go to all, you can right click on any contest you are playing and create a contest sim as long as it's in this list. So say you are playing the $5 single entry, right? I can go to the Chin Music. I right click on it. I get this add contest sim pop up. It's going to auto fill in all the information for you. It's going to pick the correct set of field lineups. You could use this little eye toggle to see what the different, how we determine which contest gets which set of field lineups. So you can, it'll auto select the field lineups for you. It will pick the correct contest size. It will do the math to get you the correct percent to first. And then it will also calculate the correct percent entries paid. So this is a quick and easy way to do it. Another thing that you can do is when you upload a contest here, when you right click, you're going to have the add contest sim button, but you're also going to have a second option that says add all contest sims. So what happens is you have the ability to create a contest sim for every single contest you are in all at once. And this is the simplest and fastest way to do it. But if you are doing it manually, maybe your contest isn't in the list. What I would do is always use the SaberSim ownership options here and just use the information to figure out which one is the right one. So match the entries that are allowed, single entry. If it's a 3 max, I would use single entry, 20 max, MME is 150 max, and then the stakes. So low stakes is anything less than anything $3 or less. Medium stakes is $4 to $15. I'm sorry, $4 to $30 is, flagship is $4 to $30. $30 to $100 is medium stakes, and $100 or more is high stakes. So that is the different stake values here for the ownership buckets. But all right, good question to get us started here. Had one from Maze. I just answered that in the Discord there. They already got back to me here. So just a quick one. So we knocked that out. No more questions at the moment. So thought it'd be a good time to do a build here for tonight's two-game MLB slate. A little bit different, a little bit smaller slate than we're used to here. So always ends up, you know, being a pretty interesting build, right? One thing that you're going to see most often is just like super concentrated ownership for pitchers here, you know, 70%, 52, 41, just a ton of pitcher ownership here. You know, really only four options. I think this is like a little bit of an opportunity here to look at some relief pitchers. I personally like to do this. I'm not saying I'm like jamming them in, but just like on a night tonight, you know, the highest salary pitcher is Andre Pallante at 8,300, and he's only projected for 75 pitches. No pitcher projected for over 12 and a half points. Like it's pretty interesting pitching slate. And, you know, maybe you're like, hey, I'd rather spend up on my batters and take some shots on some pitchers. And then what we would do is like some pitcher research the same way that we do for MLB Showdown, right? So if you guys haven't seen that, basically what I would do here, pull up my screen. RotoWire has a good bullpen usage page here. So I just type bullpen usage, RotoWire comes up. It's free to use. So then I would come in here and, for instance, say I wanted to go and look at some like relievers for St. Louis, right? So I could click on St. Louis and I could go and see who's pitched recently, right? The important thing here is that when we're looking at St. Louis, you know, SaberSim doesn't understand who's pitched recently. It doesn't understand who pitched yesterday, who's likely to pitch today, you know, who's available, who's not available, right? So we can help it with that, figure that out here, right? So like what I would say is probably all four of these guys, or at least three. Liberatore, probably not going to pitch. Leahy, probably not going to pitch. And then I would say King is probably unlikely to pitch as well. So King, Leahy, Liberatore. King, we have a 2.79 projection for, right? So like that's interesting. you know, let's take his 2.79 points and let's distribute it to pitchers that we think are more likely to pitch, right? And what I'm doing is I'm not artificially giving people points. I'm taking the points that SaberSim has assigned to relief pitchers and just redistributing it, right? So I would probably zero out King here. And then I would say, okay, hey, who do we want to give more points to? And I can come in here, say, okay, who do I think is going to pitch? I mean, I think Fernandez is available just because, yeah, Wednesday. I mean, he has pitched like back-to-back days before. So it's like not to say like he can't pitch, but, you know, pitching 3 out of 4 days, he might be off as well here, right? And we're actually not projecting him at the moment. But I would say, you know, likely to pitch, right? Kittredge, Romero, Helsley. These are three guys, Kittredge, Romero, and Helsley. So we're already projecting these three guys, but then now I can go and add, you know, that 2.93 points to all of them. So maybe I just come in here and I'm like, hey, I want to give, you know, one extra point to each of these guys because I think it's that likely that one of them does pitch and not, you know, King, right? So, you know, 4K salary, 5.77 projection, you know, Kittredge might end up in some lineups and we might be okay with that, right? So this is something that like I would consider on a slate, on a 2-game slate with not a ton of great pitching, just to get a little bit different there is something like that. So I think that's some good solid research that you could do here on this 2-game slate. But aside from that, you know, let's say I do all my research here and I'm ready to build my lineups. Great. You know, I'm going to make my 2 adjustments, 2 projections. One other thing I do want to note here is that, you know, normally I always say that, you know, I like to use this don't use batters against opposing pitchers rule. I would not use this for a 2-game slate. You know, imagine a situation where Adam Mazur pitches really well, but he gives up, you know, a solo home run to Christian Yelich. Well, you probably want that solo home run in your lineups, and it probably, you know, makes a scenario where Mazur can have a good outing and Yelich can also get there as a hitter and both players are good to have in a lineup. So on a 2-game slate, I would definitely leave this rule off. Don't use batters against a That's one thing I just wanted to note here. That's a little bit different. All right. So then now, you know, lineups are good. Lineups are ready to run. Boom. I already ran some lineups, so I'm going to use those instead, but wanted to talk about pre-build adjustments here first. So now I'm in the post-build. I'm going to set up my contest sim. If I'm using contest sims, if I'm not, I'm going to stick with SaberScore here because SaberScore is going to take into account upside, average projection, and ownership, the three things that we think you need to win a DFS contest. And I'm just going to pull back up just SaberSim to make the screen a little bit easier to see. All right. Contest Sim is running. Contest Sim is finished. Going to go in and change my sorting metric to risk adjusted ROI. And I'm going to try and, you know, start making some determinations about what I want to do on this slate, right? So I'm going to scoot this over a little bit so I can see the ownership projections in my lineup. One thing I want to check, right? I want to come in here. I want to see what are the most common stacks, right? Still a lot of 5 stacks, like 80%. But, you know, that's 4 out of 5 lineups, right? 4 stacks, definitely very viable on this slate here. So happy with that. Happy playing some 4 stacks. Happy playing some 5 stacks. And that's really all we're playing, right? 4 fours, 5 threes. Totally cool with it. And, you know, one thing I might do, which I did skip this step, is come in and adjust my mini uniques. I might be able to get to a lower number here just because, you know, mini uniques is heavily dependent on how many players there are in the player pool and then also how many lineups you need, right? So I have 20 lineups, built 500. It's a 2-game slate. You know, I'm at a mini uniques of 5 right now. I'm looking at my stack type specifically here because I want to make sure that, you know, I'm not forcing the builder to play stack types that we don't like just because I want to get diverse, right? So I'm at mini uniques of 5 here. That is the highest I can go. Still playing 4 fours, 5 twos, 5 threes. My last lineup in my set of lineups is lineup 279, positive 93% sim ROI. This is good, right? I'm happy with where we're at. I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm not seeing anything super weird just because I wanted to start using Minuniques. So all is well there. Looking at team stacks, getting a lot of Milwaukee, pretty flat, right? Everybody in like this 40 to 60% range, kind of makes sense. You know, projected runs are all the same everywhere. Everyone's between 4.4 and 4.7. So this slate really just seems, you know, kind of wide open. So it's always a pretty fun slate to play. We are taking a stand on Milwaukee here as like a five stack. So see, like, this is kind of interesting, right? Like, you could say like, okay, Milwaukee, San Diego, 55%, 60%. But then when you go and look at your five stacks, Milwaukee's 45% five stack and San Diego is 20% five stack. So we are taking a little bit of a bigger stand on Milwaukee, just good information to be aware of, right? Now I come in to my players. I'm going to look at pitchers specifically here. And I do have one lineup with a relief pitcher in my top 20, which is R. Helsley. And I did not adjust those projections. So I can only imagine, you know, I might be getting even more of those pitchers if I did adjust them. And then one interesting thing is that, hey, you know, Helsley is in about 12% of the pool here. So, like, you know, he might be in only one of my 20 and 1% ownership, but he's in, you know, 12% of my pool, which is quite a lot, right? So pretty interesting to see that. And then secondly, here is everyone else pretty spread out. Everyone in 40 to 55% of my lineups, kind of seeing the same thing as before here. You know, you could like come in and kind of spot check these lineups and like see what they look like. But overall, everything looks pretty okay to me, not seeing anything super weird. I might just want to check my batters here, make sure we're not like all in on like one specific batter. Minuniques should have helped with that. So yeah, no batter under 40, above 40% here. So I think these lineups are good. I would be happy to submit these, and I'm pretty comfortable with what I'm seeing. Sammy said, what would be the recommendation of using a couple percentiles by rule standard? Will it be better as a rule and slash or metric? Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. Okay. So let's see here. So if you wanted to use percentiles by rules, will it be better as a rule or metric? I would say it's a little bit better as a metric. And the reason for that is because I think that the lineup percentiles are better than the player percentiles. So, you know, a player percentile is like, if I'm looking at, you know, Willy Adames, right? And I go and look at his percentiles, like, okay, his 95th percentile is 24 points, right? Well, that's a 1 in 20 outcome for one player. And then there are 10 players in this lineup. So then, you know, if you're using player percentiles, the odds of something happening on like a player percentile level get like very, very long, very, very fast. But a 95th lineup percentile, that's telling you, hey, this lineup as a whole achieves this score 5% of the time, which is much more likely, right? So just to be clear, you know, we're pulling the player percentiles from the player distributions from the Sims. And then what we do is when we create a lineup, we go back into the Sims and then we say, hey, all these players together as a lineup, how did they do across all of our Sims? And then we create a lineup distribution the same way players have distributions. The lineup gets a score distribution as well, and then we're able to take percentiles from that. So looking at lineups as a whole, you know, there's always been a lot of talk like, hey, we play lineups, not players. You know, having lineup percentiles I think is a huge advantage, and I think that those are always going to be better to base your type of rules, filters, sorting metrics, etc. on. So stick with the lineup filters. I would probably be using it as some type of variable in some type of custom metric or something along those lines. But all right. Good questions there. Looks like we're all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be right back here tomorrow, Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. I'll see you all. Thanks. Bye.